I speak to you this morning in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a gift it is to be together in community for this entire weekend and be together out in creation. It is a time when we can celebrate with each other in community and an opportunity to really celebrate creation. Our Creator provided those He loves so utterly, His creations, all of us, humankind, and all of our co-creatures that live on this planet, and every living thing, with a beautiful home. A home in which we are all interconnected and dependent upon one another. Part of a cosmos that was carefully and intricately designed. Perfect balance. In the first chapter of Genesis, God reveals His ideal plan for His creation, laying out the interdependence of the cosmos within the literary framework of a perfect week. Sandra Richter and Robert Gundry, professors of biblical studies, write this in an article on environmentalism and the evangelical in Westmont Magazine online. And they say, in the ideal plan, mankind would succeed in constructing human civilization by directing and harnessing the planet's amazing resources under the wise direction of their Creator. In this world, there would always be enough. Progress would not necessitate pollution. Expansion would not demand extinction. The privilege of the strong would not require the deprivation of the weak. And humanity would succeed in these goals because of the guiding wisdom of their God. I know that I'm preaching to the choir here. Obviously, we all cherish being outdoors, in creation, for many reasons. Richter and Gundry further say, why are our hearts moved to worship by the splendor of the sunset, the staggering realities of life and all its complex forms? Why do I sit in front of my television set watching March of the Penguins with my 7-year-old and find myself in awe of a God who could instill in the heart of a penguin a level of self-sacrificial obedience that puts this believer to shame? Because the cosmos in all its beauty and complexity reflects the God who made it. The creation makes an impact on us because we are made in the image of the God who crafted it. We are designed to respond to the creation with worship. But how do we get from worship to stewardship? So, in my readings and ponderings about this morning's words, the question rose and made me really think, what is the will of God regarding our role in creation? How does our faith factor into that? I would posit that caring for creation is one of the most fundamental things we do in living out our faith. Our love for God must be reflected in fulfilling this role He gave to humanity. He appointed us. We bear His image, and He entrusted this world to our care. From Genesis 2, chapter 15. Then Yahweh Elohim took the human and put him into the Garden of Eden to tend it and to guard it. In fact, the language used in this text is translated as priests. We are appointed priests to uphold and care for creation as part of the love and honor and respect we offer to our Creator. Being in right relationship with creation is part of being in right relationship with the Creator. Intimately connected to His creation, God delights in it, provides for it, and is glorified through it. It doesn't seem that He has cast it aside for humans to do with it as we please. This garden home, purposefully made for us and every living thing upon it has and always will belong to the Creator. Our Indigenous sisters and brothers from many cultures all around the world have always understood that. Way, way, way back, the Old Testament laws of land, tree, and creature continue to communicate the same principles. The land and its creatures belong to God, not us. God cares for them, and He expects His people to do the same. After the fall, things were no longer so perfect, but God continued to guide His people. In the law given to Israel through Moses, God made provision for renewal of the land, as well as for the poor and for other creatures. There was guidance on letting the land and people, including servants and slaves, and their creatures of burden, to rest every 7 days, and letting land go fallow every 7 years so it could replenish, and the needy were free to reap and eat. Humane ways to sacrifice or slaughter animals. Even instruction about how to properly treat the sojourner or alien who came into their land. Now, there were costs involved. To not have a harvest for a year was costly. To offer hospitality to strangers was costly. And often the people of Israel didn't follow the guidance of God, and they paid dearly for it. Creation care may be costly for us in similar ways today. What are we willing to give up, and what are we willing to pay more for in order to contribute to the healing and replenishment of the earth? But first, we have to examine something else. We have to examine our hearts. Billy Graham said that environmentalism may rightly lead us to repent of our personal and collective blindness to selfish choices, greed, and apathy toward God's good creation and toward other people. Quote, environmental problems are sin problems. What we mean is that the root causes of every environmental issue in some way gets back to flawed human beings and sinful hearts. Materialism, greed, selfishness, fear. All of these lies at the root of the things that we do as individuals and as a society that have produced the crisis we now find ourselves in. Unquote. Ouch. Pretty strong statement. Environmental problems are sin problems. That's hard to hear. That's difficult to take in. But sin is really about not being in full right relationship with our Creator, with our God. We know what He appointed us to do at the very beginning. How can we be in right and loving relationship if we choose not to respond to this appointment out of love and reverence? However, I know that I am indeed guilty of those sins. How are my day-to-day choices contributing to the problem? There are things I am very conscious about doing regularly that are recommended ways of living better to mitigate or impact my footprint. I know we all do this here, and while every little bit helps, are my daily choices being made out of the Christian framework that guides my life, my response in love to my Creator every day, in the type of vehicle I choose to buy, limiting the trips to the store instead of planning ahead, or managing time better so I can fit in a walk to the store instead, not buying local when I might have the option? Oh boy, there's a lot here that speaks directly to my heart and much more yet to be named. Another struggle for some Christians might be that creation care can sound like we value the planet more than people. But caring for the planet really is caring for people, for our brothers and sisters all around the world. The poorest and most vulnerable people on the planet are negatively impacted by the choices and actions of the wealthiest or more privileged. Some of us may not be incredibly wealthy, but we are, for the most part, pretty privileged. The effects of environmental degradation on human health are devastating. Malnutrition from food shortages, higher rates of tropical disease, cardiorespiratory distress from pollution, conflicts over natural resources, they're just some of the ways environmental problems impact the lives of real people. At first, climate change might seem unrelated, but it is more than a matter of warming up a few degrees. Climate change is a threat multiplier. It will make lots of bad problems worse. Refugee crises, hunger, disease, poverty, biodiversity loss, deforestation, air pollution, and scarcity of resources. And what we are leaving for our beloved children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. It's all tied together intricately, but not in the wonderful way God had the cosmos perfectly ticking away in the beginning. But today, we still celebrate. For today gives us pause to remember that it is good to keep on doing all we're doing that is necessary and right and good. But let's also pause to think how we might, as children of the Creator, make our intentions, our actions, intentionally out of response to our love and faith in Him. And where there is faith and obedience that comes out of that faith, then there is hope. For just as we were redeemed through the death and resurrection of our Lord, our earthly home, this little vulnerable blue planet, may be resurrected through our love and sacrifice, remembering to trust in our Creator. From the end of the first chapter of Genesis, "Then God said, 'Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food, and I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life.'" And that is what happened. And then God looked over all He had made, and He saw that it was very good. And it still can be. Thanks be to God. Amen.